Face to Face with Evil, July 1st. No. Face to Face with Evil, July 1st, 2024. To begin last year's Pride Month, I wrote on how the plus in LGBTQ plus stands for pedophilia. I said so because of a mountain of evidence that, by and large, the voices of the movement are either indifferent toward or even enthusiastic about the sexualization of children. In response, some Christians insisted I was being provocative and offensive in ways that would drive members of the community away from the truth. Obviously, that is not my intention, but if the claims are true, shining the light on the evil in this movement should encourage the truth seekers among them to distance themselves. In the prior article, I gave plenty of reasons why being in the LGB or T does not make one a child predator, but aligning with the movement creates tacit acceptance of them. For as much evidence as I put in the original article, there's always more. It's an endless supply. Just this week, Twitter user Chad Felix Green shared a gut punch of a thread on being exploited by older homosexual men beginning at the age of 14. But he wasn't just tweeting about his own experiences, he explained how this is an open secret within the LGBT culture. He's not the first to explain this phenomena. Back in 2016, homosexual political agitator Milo Yiannopoulos gained notoriety with regular shocking quips and controversial actions. However, he somehow avoided cancellation and began to carve out an influential career for himself, including a $250,000 advance book deal with Simon & Schuster. Nothing he said or did seemed to get him shut down, until the day he explained how young men are introduced to homosexuality. Explicit content warning. In the homosexual world, particularly, some of those relationships between younger boys and older men, the sort of coming-of-age relationships, the relationships in which those older men help those young boys to discover who they are and give them security and safety and provide them with love and a reliable sort of rock, he said. After peeling back the curtain on that open secret, his book deal was revoked and his speaking gigs vanished. Of all the vulgar things Yiannopoulos said, exposing the underbelly of the gay community was the one thing that wasn't allowed. This secret has been out for decades, though. The Overhauling of Straight America was a guide written by two gay men in 1987 to detail their plan to gain broad cultural acceptance for their community. It was later expanded into a book entitled After the Ball. Read in hindsight, they executed the blueprint to perfection. But in their marketing strategy, they revealed an ugly truth. Quote, a media campaign to promote the gay victim image should make use of symbols which reduce the mainstream sense of threat, which lower its guard, and which enhance the plausibility of victimization. In practical terms, this means that jaunty, mustachioed muscle men would keep very low profile in gay commercials and other public presentations, while sympathetic figures of nice young people, old people, and attractive women would be featured. It almost goes without saying that groups on the farthest margin of acceptability, such as NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association, must play no part at all in such a campaign. Suspected child molesters will never look like victims. End quote. Notice they did not disavow the pedophiles among their ranks. They said that such members should be hidden from public view because they would be bad for the PR campaign. This is not some fringe document. Again, it was the central blueprint followed by the higher-ups of the entire community and set the table for everything they've accomplished in the last 30 years. They've had every opportunity to distance themselves from the sexualization of children, and they refuse to do it. It might offend somebody to say that, but I don't see how it can be denied. We can't hide from ugly, painful truths just because some people don't want them to be said. But all of this exposes a problem the church has to reckon with. The reality of evil. Our willingness to be honest about the evil staring us in the face reveals how much we see the world through God's lens and how much we see it through cultures. Some Christians insist that evil is too strong a word and that the predatory drag queen is no different than you and me. Others might agree, or other Christians might agree internally that it is evil, but believe it is counterproductive to apply such a label. Still others see it as the evil it is and are willing to say so. This is the only path that holds to the truth and loves people enough to actually state the truth. Too many Christians are highly uncomfortable with the idea that there is true evil in the world. We're all broken sinners, and good guys and bad guys are only shades apart. For a lot of Christians, the imprecatory Psalms turn their stomachs. David saying, "I hate those who hate you," and asking God to slay the wicked in Psalm 139:19 through 22, gets pretty uncomfortable because we can't imagine asking God to destroy or even stop any evildoers. Why? Well, everybody sins and thus we're all in the same boat. The half-truth of sin is sin has been cultivated for precisely this purpose. All sin separates one from God, but not all sin is equal. There is a reason Romans 1 placed LGBT sins at the end of a long spiral away from God. And even within the LGBT community, not all sin is equal. The child predator is not the same as the person who fails to call out the child predator, who is not the same as the person who distances themselves from those types and minds their own business, who is not the same as a confused youth. Dealing with sin and the sinner varies greatly. But since we've equivocated so much on sin, it's treated as all the same, and it's all not that bad. When wickedness stares us in the face like it just did for a solid month, we find ways to soften the blow and be relatable rather than firmly and lovingly pointing out the wickedness of the movement. We refuse to look true evil in the face and call it evil. Since truth has been discarded because it hurts feelings, love is the only card in our hand, and love without truth is a dangerous card to play. Truth and love in the face of evil. Once again, each case is different as to how much a person is a victim of sin and how much they are a culprit of it. Many misguided people are victims of a culture that funnels them toward LGBT as they struggle with their identity. Truth should help them see the evils of the community and how it preys on people like them while pretending it loves them. Pride does not lift anyone up, but destroys them from within. See 1 Corinthians 6:18. Love should show them what it really means to be accepted in Christ and His family. There is true belonging for the prodigal come home, for the Romans 1 person to join the such were some of you of 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. On the other hand, there are many others who are fully aware of what they're doing and how they're using their protected identity to prey on others. There comes a time when being loving towards such a person means stopping them and preventing them from preying on anyone else. It is not loving to them to leave them unopposed, and it is especially not loving toward their victims. Our humanist anthropology refuses to see the ugliness of sin and the depravity it can create, but real evil is out there. A biblical anthropology helps us see just how bad things can get when God is removed from man's life. Christ is the solution to the world's evil, but that solution takes various forms. It should be our prayer that they all come to the knowledge of the truth, and if they will not, that they be stopped from harming others and destroying more lives with their wicked ideology. Thanks for listening. For more, check out jackwilkie.co, where you can find the full archive of my articles, where you can also become a subscriber by email and receive the articles as soon as they go up, 4 to 5 days ahead of the podcast feed. And if you should so choose, you can support my work by becoming a premium subscriber. If you enjoyed this article, one of the best ways to support my work is by sharing it with others, whether via the podcast feed or by sharing the link via email or social media from the site jackwilkie.co. Thanks again.